Aki, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you doing this. I know how busy you are. Can you start by introducing yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about your history and HR and some of the organizations you've worked in, and then we'll talk about what's going on at ServiceNow?
Sure. Thank you, Josh, for having me here. I love what you do to create this community. That's so important, and the information that you share. So truly honored to be a part of it. I started my career at Arthur Andersen, and I went straight out of university there, mostly because not only was it a great organization, I knew that I could grow, and they were famous for that, training and development and then progression. And I stayed there 25 years. So it was a long time, but it morphed as a really important company from Arthur Andersen to Andersen Consulting, and then ultimately Accenture. I pivoted early in my time there from the audit and tax part of the business to go to consulting. And I, at that same time, moved into more of a human resource related role than a frontline accounting role. And in those days, utilization was how those organizations like consulting firms made their money, right? It was on billable hours. And it made it a nice transition to go from finance and accounting into what would be a human capital career. And I just fell in love with the work to be able to match up people with the things they like to do, that they love to do, that worked with their life, their aspirations, and then be able to figure out how a company could still make money, grow, and be a really great organization. So as Accenture evolved, I had the opportunity to work for great leaders that became the CEO often of the company, Bill Green, Joe Forehand, Pierre Nanterne, and took on bigger HR roles, from running regional roles to global roles to new businesses. And it was an excellent classroom. But as I got to the 25-year mark, a mentor of mine, Pam Craig, called me, and we met for a bit, and she encouraged me to think about, should I look at CHRO roles? I was, sort of senior, but never had the top job. And she introduced me to Doug McMillon at Walmart. And, what a great company, what a great CEO. And I had the opportunity to meet Doug. And he had a vision to change the company and, make it more competitive. Amazon, was out there. There was a lot of change in retail, but he also wanted to change the industry of retail. And he knew that he could do that through the experience of his associates, which was over 2 million people. And my experience at Accenture, while not at the scale or, of what a Walmart was doing, was really focused on the digital experiences of employees. So together, we embarked with that team at Walmart for about 4 years to change how Walmart ran. And we did it with the people at the heart of it, making work more engaging, bringing skills, into the conversation more, thinking about how a store runs. And this was with collaboration of the leadership team. It wasn't something that I just did by myself. It was a really phenomenal management team with a great board supporting everything we did. And you probably heard the story where we announced to the street that we were investing $3 billion in training, education, and wages. And when that happened in one day, the company lost $20 billion in market cap. But the organization didn't retreat. The management team leaned into the plan, executed it really well, and the share price and everything, it responded positively once the street believed that this investment was the right thing to do. And we bought companies like Jet.com. We changed incentives. It was a large change management plan. But I was commuting at the end from Bentonville to New York, where I'm from, and I wanted to be back with my kids who were getting, like high school age. And I went to WPP, which is a largest media advertising and marketing organization, where COVID happened. And that was a very different kind of job. We were trying to make sure our people were safe, that they were home, that we could still do the work they needed to do. And it was a challenging time, but I was glad to be there to help. But I did meet a guy named Bill McDermott when I was at Walmart, and he came to ServiceNow in 2019, I think it was, and called because he was ready to pick a people lead to work with him. And I was just so thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to come work with Bill in technology, where I was a customer of ServiceNow when we were at Walmart. And it just felt like the right thing to do. And he wanted to build an organization that wasn't just known for great technology, but that you could be a leader. And that felt so, just to be thrilled to be a part of. So I've been here 4.5 years. We've done a lot together, and I'm really proud of the work that we've done, and I'm happy to talk more about that to Josh at the right time.
Sure. What a great experience you've had. I remember going down to Walmart when I was at Deloitte and experiencing the song that everybody sang in the beginning of the, and I was like, whoa, this company is way different than I thought.
Yeah.
What an amazing culture that place has. So before we get into HR and AI and all that, I've met Bill a couple of times in his SAP days and then since then. And I'm about the same age as him. And I actually have a career. It's a little bit like his, obviously not as successful in that sense. But what is he like? What is it like working with a guy like that as the head of HR? Because I think one of the things CHROs deal with is finding the right management team and the right CEO to work with and work for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bill is very much as he seems. Like, he's one of those people who I think is authentically himself, whether you are working with him, you're in a meeting, you know, socially with him. And I really love that about him. He's a straight talker. He keeps things simple. He's very experienced. And he's great at holding people, I'd say, to high performance, but being extremely supportive. And you can tell that that's a genuine trait of his. Yeah. He's very clear-minded on success. He'll say things like, maybe you're ahead of me on this, but here's an idea, which usually means I'm not ahead of him on that. But, you know, it's that style. And he has a book that he wrote that if you know, his on leadership and people work for their leaders, and it's up to the manager to really drive how successful people can be. And it's caring about each individual on your team. He says things like we need to know more and do more because we care more. That he means that for all 28,000 people who work here, plus the customers that he very much respects and values and believes in service to them. The customer is just like Walmart. They say the customer is number one. The customer is number one here too.
Well, and I'm curious, I've worked in several software companies in my career, and they tend to be very brutally difficult places to work, highly competitive, not always people-centric. A lot of CEOs are entrepreneurs and engineers and software people. I mean, you can't argue with the growth rate and the technology prowess of ServiceNow. Do you think Bill is proving that this caring culture is a more powerful way to run a technology first company?
I do, Josh. When I started here, one of the things someone asked me is, what's your white whale? And I had to think about that, but not for too long, that I wanted it to be the financial success of the company was driven, the headline was driven by its people strategy. Bill subscribed to that too. And I look back on the time that we've had together where this employee covenant we have called the People Pact. He speaks about that as much as I do, which is, if you come here together, we will be able to live our best lives, do our best work, and fulfill our purpose together. And those are words that are not just an HR EVP. He speaks them from the stage. He speaks them from his own microphone. He has this chart that he puts up that is from his time when he started here that talks about the moments and the moments of time, whether it was a moment in the business that happened, a person who got hired to the leadership team, recognition that we've received externally for our people work. And it's all on this one pager that I smile every time I see it, because it is that white whale, right? We've had great success financially and as a company that I am very proud of. But I do think, and I know he does too, that that wouldn't have happened if we weren't living what we say in the People Pact, if we weren't thinking intentionally about how we're developing our people, if we weren't really caring and working that as hard as we do to meet our financial goals.
Well, I see it as, you know, I see it as an analyst, because I spend a lot of time with your product teams, and you guys do just amazing work, and you listen to the market extremely well. So let's talk about your role. So you came in as I didn't realize you had a background in finance and accounting, by the way. That was interesting. So you come into the role as the head of HR. Now you're the chief AI transformation officer. Tell me about that big job you have.
Yeah. AI enablement is the actual title. We changed the title the beginning of this year, 2025. Along the way, we were making moves that make this not be so new sounding. About a year and a half ago, almost two, we consolidated underneath the human capital team the training, education, and support for our customers, our partners, and our communities. So not only are we now responsible for the 28,000 folks who work here and their development in skills, we're responsible for the 3 million learners that we have and need to have by 2027. So I have a P&L for where we when we sell our training, but
we
also
do know that we actually helped you guys with that strategy. I think before you were there.
Josh, I remember that.
I don't know if you found the deck.
Yes. Thank you. You laid a lot of good groundwork there. You made the business case very strong. So we did build ServiceNow University, which was the idea, right, that you had brought to us. So I love the connection. Yeah. So ServiceNow University got created, which is where we deliver on all that education and learning for, as I said, a large population of people. It was going on, as I said, you know, before the title change. But then when the title did change, we were ready to say, this is a signal that we believe the human capital change and opportunity is so huge and important that if we don't take this on as a company, if we don't help our customers, if we don't set, you know, some thought leadership and ways of doing this, people won't realize the value that they've purchased technology for. So it's very tied. And Bill and the team saw this for me to be the team captain for us, but it's a mission and it's an imperative across the whole team that reports to Bill. So the CIO, the CIO, the CTO, our product leadership all feel equally accountable to drive this really important, I like to call it human capital renaissance opportunity. And it's been a thrill to have this and an honor to be trusted to do it here.
Well, and you know, I love the idea you call it a human capital renaissance because, you know, we call it the rise of the super worker, but it's tricky. So I'd love to hear when you talk about AI enablement and AI training, I hear this all everywhere I go. People ask, how do we train people about AI? What do they need to know? What skills do they need to know? And what I've learned about it is you don't learn about this by taking a course. You learn about it by using it and doing it. Yeah. But I was talking to Brandon Roberts yesterday, and he described something that you're doing around role-based learning. Can you explain how your AI enablement education works a little bit? Because everybody's mystified.
Sure. So it is a complex moment to have to think through. And Brandon Roberts is the member on my team who leads our AI, basically our people AI strategy. And what he did early on, working with the person who created ServiceNow University for us, Janie Housen, was to think about in our own company, what are all the jobs that exist? What can AI do to change those jobs or will do to change those jobs? And then what does that do from creating a capacity or opportunity to redirect that time into new skills, new opportunities that will drive either new ways of working in the current job or maybe even different jobs? So we started with our own data. We basically took an X-ray of the company. We've also assessed everybody here to look at their AI capabilities, and then we've created personalized roadmaps of how to grow those capabilities. So I think that's been a lot to know. Like we've gathered some really good data about our current workforce, and our board is actually taking that assessment as well. It's been really great to see the tone from the top about how important this is. And then we've created basically a couple of pillars. The first was it started as no AI. So as you said, like a one day common vocabulary training. Well, that was like a couple years ago and we realized that helped then. Working with AI every day is what we're now encouraging. And I see how the organization is engaging in. And working with AI is, it could be our own tools and our own technology. It can be with Copilot. It can be with Zoom. You know, there's other organizations that we have inside our house. We've created it to be something we celebrate. So really celebrating the people who are most engaged with using the AI tools and platform that we have so that other people would want to be excited to try that if they're fearful. And then we went from everybody working with AI to building with AI. So we, as you know, are a software company. We're constantly building new products or innovating on the ones we have. And using AI and building with AI is a really important requirement for our people here. Inside our organization, like I use something, our digital agent, that even I can use AI without having to be this like amazing technologist. So it's encouraging that you're building with AI too. We talk a lot about helping our sellers sell AI because that is, you know, another capability that really needs to be thriving in this organization. And the last area of enablement that we've been working on is, at first, it was lead with AI, and we've changed it twice, and now it's lead boldly. Because back to what you and I talked about, there's nothing more complicated than being a leader right now in the world, in the environment that we have. And so we are investing in how to make our managers the most confident they can be, the most savvy that they can be, to be able to lead their team through a complex change. So encouraging them to train, to learn, to skill, to build new capabilities, to be curious, to innovate, to deliver on their OKRs. Like it's a, you know, it's a lot on their plate, but that has been something we've really doubled down on. And I think those four pillars of what helped us get to the spot that we're on today, while wrapping that in constant storytelling and in change management and really building out conversations. We do a lot of listening. We do a lot of open conversations, company-wide, small groups. And I think that's made us be able to be successful in this.
Well, that's so inspirational. I don't know if you know, we announced something a couple weeks ago, the rise of the super manager, because I think really leadership roles are so different in this environment where there's so much experimentation and growth and new technology hitting people all the time.
Yeah.
I'm completely on board with that. And just one other question. When you do this by job, is it by function? Here's marketing, here's sales, here's IT, but how detailed do you get into this education process or enablement process?
It goes pretty deep. Like I'll take the HR team as an example. We have broad learning and development that I, you know, have for my team. Beyond that, whether you're in people operations, your people product, business partners, there's clicks into those roles that you can get more specialized training for. So our people operations team, as an example, I've encouraged them to really use our platform, because the more that we use our platform, we're very proud of the, you know, internal use of our platform. It can tell better customer stories by our own experiences. And they took the challenge on and they needed more training in how to use the product to the degree that it was able to be used, more than we had been applying it inside our people operations team. They took it on, they learned, they grew, and when they implemented technology, they were able to double the output that they were doing before. So they went from like 1 to 400 serving to 1 to 850. And that work was driven because they took the time to be reskilled, to upskill themselves specifically on how our technology could automate workflow inside our own organization. And I was really proud of them because they probably had some fear, like, is this going to mean Jackie's going to change our jobs or will we lose jobs? And we didn't do that. And we reinvested their time in higher sort of use case work, in creating new levels of service to our people. Like they could spend more time with individuals that they probably didn't have the time to do before on more complex cases. And they have become really great at training our own AI and our data so that the answers get better. And like, you know, if you go to our Now Assist here, you should be able to ask a question and we should have it serve up to you through AI. And over 90% of those questions now are being answered by AI, so that 10% is left for my team to be able to spend the time to really help those more complex questions get answered.
Right. Well, and I think that's the part of the work where we're integrating Galileo, if I'm completely familiar. Yeah. I mean, that's every company's got that opportunity. Totally.
Yes.
So let me ask you about sort of the bigger issues about HR that we're exploring, because, you know, I just finished a whole bunch of meetings with a whole bunch of CHROs, and they sort of look me in the face and say, how should we restructure the HR department around AI? You know, I hear this, right? So there's recruiting, there's training, there's employee services, there's all the business partner roles, consulting roles. What is your vision at this point on what HR is going to look like with all of these AI tools as these agents come to market?
Yeah. So I asked my team, I was inspired by, you know, the things you're talking about, Josh, and, you know, Allie Miller, I follow her and learn from her too, and have been thinking, if I were to come to a company that was just starting today, and you and I were building an AI function, I mean, HR function, how would we build it,
right,
knowing what we know, right? And really challenge the team to think, okay, let's be AI first as an HR function. Doesn't mean we can go all the way. I know there's conditions that have to exist, but let's stretch our minds to do that. And I was really proud that the team took that seriously. So we've been working on how do we become an AI native HR organization, which has also become now, how are we becoming an even more AI native company? And we've been documenting this journey along the way. And what we did first was create a governance around use cases that we collected. So we've collected about 1,000 use cases from the HR organization of how would you use AI in your day-to-day, in your new, you know, like things that you can't get time to do. And we built a rubric of how to decide which ones we would tackle and which ones we might send back for more work, or which ones we would dismiss or say that's, you know, easy enough, you guys can kind of run with that. And it brought us to about 27 that we put into motion that are changing how we structure and how we work. And we manage, we monitor the ROI. Brandon probably told you we have an AI air traffic control tower that we can see all the use cases in the company. Because not every use case that's going to impact HR is happening in HR. It could be happening in finance or other places. So we're trying to disintegrate the org charts at the top so that we can work with AI across and manage our way into this AI native world. What I see happening is the rise of product management for sure in HR. Building what are our solutions that we're creating for our employees. Are they excited about them? Is it meeting their needs? Are we designing with the human center in the middle? So that it's not just a process or a policy or something that we feel really important is important to get out. It's how is that changing how our people experience work here? And I do think that I've seen that dramatically increasing in the way my team operates and in the need for people with those capabilities. So product mindset, I think that HR business partners were focused on how to make those jobs much easier, or finding their way into more advisory, which is something, Josh, you and I talked about when we were at Walmart together, you know? Finally emerging, I think that there's a people scientist role that's also getting brighter, that is data, insights, you know, fueling what a product team can think of, what an HR business partner might be responsible for. And then the COE, more traditionally, you know, focused on bigger thinking, enterprise-wide. I think that's people like, we still need people who can think that way. But they become much more, I'll say, tighter. It's maybe smaller in numbers, but it's even more important to have that expertise to fuel what becomes more like a system than an org chart for how to deliver HR is what I think. We didn't even
really
talk about learning and
learning. Well, yeah, and then learning and development, you can revolutionize that too.
Yeah, totally.
Let me ask you another question. This is something I'm working on that I've been running by people. There seems to be, the market is proliferating with agents. We have 94 capabilities of HR in our model.
Wow.
And so you could probably buy 94 agents, one for each one.
Yeah.
But nobody could ever implement that. It would be a mess. The data management would be chaos. It would cost you a fortune. So what I've really concluded is that what we need in HR, by the way, I just talked to a company about this across other areas, is we need what I would call super agents. Agents that do five things together. Not one thing really well. Do these use cases, when these 27 use cases, are you beginning to see that they're actually bigger than one thing because they're all interconnected?
Yeah.
See where I'm going?
Yes, yes. And I think that is what we've been talking about, the power of AI is that it runs across.
Right.
Right? It goes like east to west and even north to south is what
Bill... In fact, you know, the thing that strikes me the most, and I'm in the middle of writing this up, is all of our companies are vertical by job function and all of our problems are horizontal.
And when you think about the human in the center, you're navigating the right to left, right? To
right.
get your job done. Up
yep.
and down is like, yeah. But that's how corporations have been wired for forever.
I think AI is going to change that. That's what I mean by these super agents. So can you give us an example maybe of one of the 27 or that might be kind of cool?
Yeah. So like our voice survey, where we have a pulse on the people, like every company probably does.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we've been able to use AI to gather better information out of that survey has been, I'll say, like 300 fold. You know, we always had an analysis of like what the comments were, what people were trying to say. But now we have the ability to be even more precise on the feedback that we're getting, including what are the AI tools that our people are using and like, and their feedback about them. We wouldn't have been able to, I think, get as granular in being able to say, okay, this is the feedback that we got. This is how we addressed it. And then we'd like roll into the next year and think we did a great job. And then the survey would happen again. And we maybe wouldn't have changed enough things. So I find that we're having better personalized responses to what we learn about the survey, at least by organization, because we do keep that anonymous. We don't like, you know, go to each person on that. In our quarterly growth conversations, we are serving up the pre-population for a manager on how to think about starting that conversation that's based on the feedback that they've been collecting over the year, plus input from the employee on what they want to talk about. So it's saving time, but it's making those meetings much more impactful and meaningful. A really good one that's been pretty practical, I think, and exciting is it used to take a couple of days for us to respond to a sales and account executive on what their commissions are going to look like. And that may not sound like a lot of time, but I want those account executives to feel really supported that they're not worrying about what their commission's going to be. And now we can do it in 8 seconds. Yeah. You know, it's like those are...
That's a pretty big one. I'm sure Bill was all over that one.
Yes. So yeah, we have a bunch of them, but those are the ones that come to my mind.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, the thing that goes through my mind when I hear about the employee listening stuff is, you know, the natural thing that goes through my head is if we did this listening in an almost a real-time basis, we could be generating learning interventions and basically education for managers about what's going on in the workforce almost in a cyclical process, almost in a real-time process. So,
I agree.
It's unbelievable how this is going to change things. Okay, I know you talk to a bunch of companies like I do. What advice do you have for your peers who are staring like deer into the headlights thinking, I don't run a software company. I don't have a bunch of engineers. I kind of know what this stuff is. Should I just assume that Workday or SAP is going to do this for me? Obviously, you would like them to call ServiceNow, but you know, how do you frame it up at the CHRO level?
So I think every CHRO is thinking about that very question, Josh, at least the ones that we all talk to. Educating yourself is really important on what is the possible, you know, art of the possible. I have every 2 weeks a personalized enablement plan that I spend time on learning stuff I don't know, right? Or asking questions that I don't have answers to. And I vulnerably understand that I will probably need this for the rest of my career, right? Or my life to learn and never really fully understand it. But learning enough so that I can help raise the ceiling on the conversations inside this my team and inside the company about AI is one of the really important things I think every HR lead can do. I do also know that the human capital implications of this technology is really important for our HR leaders to understand so that you can think about your strategic workforce plan, which ties to your financial plan, is going to bring the best value, the most reward, the you know, most impactful talent strategy that you probably ever had the ability to create before. Now, we're building workforce strategies, though, for things that we can't see, like your point about agents. So that's why the education part is really important. Having a team lead or partner, you've mentioned Brandon, I have too. He's our team captain, right? So I have somebody who's helping create the conversation inside our organization, inside HR, that's leading us around these corners and has a safe place for my team to talk to experiment with, but also drive our OKRs to. And then across the company, we've created these AI champions. So there's more than one Brandon in the company, right? That are working together underneath the level of Bill to advance this organization into being an AI native. I would say now data, we haven't talked a lot about that, but data is really important to an AI strategy. And not everybody's data is going to be clean. I get that. Spending time to get that right is a useful thing to do. Now, I also think that you can have a team captain on that. And while you're working your data, where's your data located? Like, where's your data? You know, who's inputting it? Where's your content strategy? All that. We talk about that all the time. And I think as a CHRO, spending your time understanding that is going to be really important. And you don't have to wait for the data to be all clean to get started. And I'd say that's key too. Like, what are your use cases? And as you're getting your use cases together, what are you going to measure about those use cases? Are you going to measure ROI in a way of productivity? Are you going to measure ROI in change management? Like, show that we can be creative. Like, there's different ways to measure ROI. And I think getting clear-minded about that. And then last thing I'd say is really think about your governance so that you have a good foundation of the decision-making you're going to take with your GC, your CIO, your CFO, so that the use cases you do pick are the ones that you're going to be proud of.
And I assume you're partnered very closely with your CIO and the tech team there.
Yes.
Which is a part of this. You know, there's this funny story I keep telling people. It's a long time ago when I was at IBM in the 80s, when the PC was launched, I remember a lot of executives said, I would never use a PC. That's for my secretary. I don't learn. I don't touch that stuff. I think what you're saying and I'm hearing is you got to get your hands dirty with this stuff at every level. You really have to understand it. You don't have to be an engineer, but you have to understand it. There's so many things you're sharing with us. Let me just ask you one more question about the space. A lot of HR people are going to be losing their jobs, changing jobs. People worry about their jobs. Recruiters are worrying about their jobs. It was amazing to me how many people came up to me in my last little roadshow just worried. about what they're supposed to do next. I think I know what you're going to say, but what would you say to the thousands of people who listen to this podcast who are in HR, what they should do with their careers to stay ahead?
You know, there's a lot of people who talk about the quotes, and I'll get it mostly right, I hope, that, you know, people, there is a lot of fear in the workforce. I totally understand that and appreciate it as well as feel it. But for people who don't work with AI, there's, you know, you that would be concerning. But I do subscribe to the belief that people who work with AI, who embrace AI in their jobs, in their daily life, in the way that it can be used, are only going to be augmented and employable through this time, right? So investing in your confidence in that you know how to use AI, you know what it can do, you can think about reimagining your day. What are the things you don't like to do in your day? How could AI take those away from you so that it gave you more time to do the things that you love or want to do? And in like leaning into that, I would say is number one piece of advice. There's a lot of ways to do that. We have free in ServiceNow University, people can take free classes on what AI is and how they can do that. There's lots of LinkedIn, I'm sure has it. Josh York, you know, all the work you do, people leaning into that, I think is a good thing for everybody in HR to do if they're not doing it already. And I think design skills are really important too. And designing work, designing flow, designing workflow, designing the outcomes for your team, yourself, the employees that you support, I also think will augment your ability to like continue to grow as an HR professional. What we're getting to finally do in our careers or in this function is to release all the tasks that we used to have to spend so much time on that were highly valued because they had to be done. But now that can be delegated, or you can hire technology to do that so that you are now free to be the advisor, to be the SME, to study compensation models, to study what rewards should be like, to evaluate what costs can be saved in benefits so that we can bring more benefits to people. You know, like there's so much stuff that we don't get to do in HR right. That now I really believe
you get to move up a level. Right?
Yeah.
You really get to think about things. Well, that's great. That's exactly the way I see it. So that's perfect sort of conclusion here. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are. Maybe we'll do this again next year, in a year from now, and see how the world has changed.
I would love that, Josh. And I offer to anyone who's listening, we've written a playbook to get started in HR and how to transform the workforce that is in its couple of iterations. There's more to be done. And in a year from now, I can't wait to talk about that with you too. But I offer that to the listeners, if that's helpful.
Great. I'll put it in the notes. Thank you again. And we'll keep close in touch on all the crazy, wonderful things going on at ServiceNow. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Thank you for your support and the partnership.
You bet.